The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
Hey, Ken Krawchuk here, and welcome to episode 103 of the Pennsylvania Project. As you may know, here at the Pennsylvania Project, our vision is a better Pennsylvania. To achieve that vision, our mission is to boldly showcase the political, cultural, and environmental challenges facing contemporary Pennsylvania, and to relentlessly, vigorously, and methodically pursue correct solutions. But more important than solving the problem correctly is to solve the correct problem, and hopefully nothing involving being kidnapped by men with guns. We'll get more of that later. We have an all-political episode planned for today, and like all episodes of the Pennsylvania Project, it's divided into three parts. You, them, and me. Part one is all about you, your questions, your opinions, your solutions, your whatevers. And rather than a call-in format, we utilize an email-in format. So if you have something to say, you can always drop us a line at pennsylvaniaproject.com. Today for the you part, we have our latest regular feature, Unscripted Cohorts, where I get hit cold with some unknown question from our cohort. Plus, we have questions from listeners about an upcoming bill, about Libertarian Party convention rules, and, time willing, about libertarians in 10,000 BC. After the you part comes part two, the them part, where each episode we host a guest to help showcase the political, cultural, and/or environmental issues facing Pennsylvania. Our guest today is all political. He's Tim McMaster, Libertarian candidate for State Senate in District 48. After that comes the me portion of the Pennsylvania Project, where it will be my turn, your caster, Ken Krawchuk. I'll be focusing on some particular issue that really sticks in my craw, pun intended. Today I'll be ranting about the right-to-work laws, or what I call them, send in the clowns. And throughout the show, as is our long-established custom, we'll be featuring a Pennsylvania Toastmaster to serve as narrator to read our live commercials. Unfortunately, our narrator today had to cancel at the last minute. But, good news, we have a second Toastmaster with us today. He's here to read and help respond to whatever comes into our mailbag and join in discussions with our guest. It's a role that we call cohort. Today's cohort is making his fifth appearance on the Pennsylvania Project. He's Ed Metz from the Pocono Toastmasters Club in, you guessed it, the Poconos.
The Poconos, thanks.
And he'll be doing double duty today as both cohort and narrator. Welcome back to the Pennsylvania Project,
Ed. Love it. Got big shoulders ready to go.
We're really putting you to work here today.
Oh, yeah.
It's a shame we have no Toastmaster narrator, because this is now the second episode that we haven't, actually the second time we haven't had a Toastmaster narrator.
It's okay. I'm a Toastmaster, I'm a narrator.
I know.
We'll figure it out.
I'm not sure if you heard on episode 102, last one, previous one, the lady sitting in that chair was not a Toastmaster.
Dun, dun, dun.
I know. Her husband is a Toastmaster. It was the first non-Toastmaster reading commercials that we've had since episode 4.
How'd she do?
She did wonderfully. You can ask Mark, and Mark is a real tough critic on this.
Big thumbs up there. Yeah.
But it's real funny because I always ask the person, whoever the narrator is, I always ask them, what do you like about being a Toastmaster?
Mm-hmm.
But she's not a Toastmaster.
Right.
And
right.
I got to come up, since episode 4, I got to come up with a new question. So I just turned it around. I said, why aren't you a Toastmaster?
What do you like about not being a Toastmaster?
And she says, no way for me. And I'm not going to do it. I sit in the back of the
room.
Too
much stress.
You know, on and on and on and on and on. And you know what the funny thing was? After participating in the show and listening to what was going on, everything was all over. She's going to be attending our next Toastmaster
there
meeting.
There you go. Excellent. Excellent.
And she even told her husband, who is a Toastmaster. So you never know. This is a life-changing experience being on the show. Has it changed your life?
It has totally changed my life. I love it. I get to visit Philadelphia again.
Yeah.
I went to college here, and it's nice to come back once in a while.
Where'd you go?
Drexel.
Drexel. Oh, that's right. I knew that, too.
Yeah.
It's a shame we don't have one of the Drexel people here. We've probably had 10, 12 Drexel people.
Hmm.
And I lined up a couple more last night at our Drexel Toastmaster meeting.
Ah, very good. Yeah.
So we're going to have more Drexel Toastmasters on here. But enough of this gay banter, as Art Farnsworth likes to put it. You've been here often enough, you know that we have our ancient custom.
That's
where the
right.
Cohort brings some unscripted questions that I could fumble over and practice my impromptu speaking.
It's impromptu all the way, and it's not politics. Not at
all
this politics.
This is supposed to be, I said it was going to be an
you
all.
You did say it's an all political show, but I think your listeners would like to learn a little something about you, Ken. So the question is, tell us the story of your first love.
My first love.
That's right.
Man, well, there's a couple different answers to that. I mean, loving what?
Doesn't have to be human.
The first thing that came to mind was a computer that I built at the age of 14.
Okay.
And I definitely loved that. And that actually preceded... No, I guess it was right about... it preceded the first time that I picked up a young lady.
Okay.
And I guess there's... It's punched me by love. I mean, there's infatuation. There's all sorts of degrees.
That's why I worded it that way.
Uh-huh. I guess the easiest one is to talk about my wife, because that way I won't get in trouble with her when she listens to this.
Well, she's already been upstaged by a computer, so too late.
but I didn't know her then. So
okay.
I know it's been a while. No, it's actually an interesting story. We were at Watkins Glen State Park. My wife and I met on a camping trip. Me and my buddies were up there. We were late teens, early 20s, right in around there. And we always put together a softball game on these camping trips because it's a great way to meet women. But we didn't have any equipment, no bats, no balls, no nothing like that. So what we do is we just drive around the campground, sitting on the hood yelling, softball game tonight, Tuscarora sites, 7 p.m. And eventually we score. We'll see like a family there, and they got three boys, and they're about 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. We're like, they've got gear.
Perfect.
And somebody always shows up with gear.
Yep.
Well, getting back to your question, we're doing a pickup game. So we're choosing sides and everything. And there's this one girl, and she's real pretty. And me and my buddy were standing there on the sidelines. I said, you know, I'm going to move in on that one. He says, no, I'm moving in on that one. And we went back and forth and back and forth, and we wound up flipping a coin.
Flipping a coin.
Shooting out for sides is how we call it back in Alney. Alney.
Alney.
It's like paper, rock, scissors, only it's a little more randomized. Yeah. And he won. And he went out with her for a year.
Wow.
Yeah. He dated her for a year. But he wound up stepping aside from her and he wound up walking away from her for the girl that he wound up marrying.
Hmm.
So I saw my opportunity. I was going out with a young lady at the time, pretty girl, blonde hair, very nice girl. But I left her to start going out with my wife. Then my brother saw his opportunity and he moved in on this pretty blonde.
With the blonde.
Yeah. Oh, so all three of us like picked up, moved guys, over one.
There you go.
And that's how we came to be. The rest, as they say, is history.
There you go.
And it's funny because everybody's still in speaking terms.
Excellent.
Because I still hang out with my brother's wife and on and on and on and on.
That's great. Well, see, now we learn a little more about Ken.
Yeah. So, and my wife and I, we all go camping together still. Cool. We haven't been camping since last weekend.
And since a whole week without camping?
Well, it's been 4 days since I came back in. And on Sunday, we're going to be back out of French Creek State Park again.
Excellent.
Yeah, we go there all the time.
All right.
Going on and on and on about this one.
That's right.
And her name is Roberta. She's been not a guest here. She doesn't want to be a guest.
Right.
She's been a narrator.
Yeah, she was a narrator last time I was here.
I was actually thinking of having her come in today, but I thought twice about it. I thought, no.
It's all good. Got you covered.
Yep. Good question, though. But you gave me thinking about these other young ladies, too. You know, the ones you leave behind.
We only have an hour, Ken.
Such are the dreams of the everyday housewife, as Glenn Campbell would say. Anyway. Let's get on with a listener question instead.
Sure.
See what we got.
All right. You want the first one out of the mailbag here?
Yeah, we'll start
right
at the top.
This'll get your blood boiling, right?
Oh,
it's from Stan, and Stan wants to know, did you see the right to work bill that the Pennsylvania Young Americans for Liberty is pushing?
Nope, I had not seen it. Next question, Ed. No,
okay.
I'm kidding.
Yeah. You've got... Yeah, half an hour on this one.
I know. Stan's is a good question, and it's right up Pennsylvania Project's alley for sure, unlike the next question, if we ever get to that. But, you know, when I was putting together an answer to this one, it turned out it was so long, and it got controversial in the end. I don't see my producer listening. He should be paying attention to this. But I thought I'd save it for today's rant. Oh, he is there.
He's there.
All right, as long as he's listening. But I'm gonna save this whole right-to-work thing for today's rant. I was going to call it the wrong to work bill, or send in the clowns, as I've already said already, so something like that. But we'll see. We'll get to it at the rant. In the meantime, what else we got, Ed?
Okay. Well, Bernie McCann
Bernie
from Elwood City, Pennsylvania, says, I asked my Wendy to listen to your podcast with me, and she asked me how you managed to run for vice president when that's not an elected position. Sure, you came in third, but doesn't that credit go to the guy who ran for president? Well, Bernie's trying to give you a little needle there, I think.
No, sorry, Bernie. Not Pennsylvania related. Next question, Ed. No, just kidding. I've been asked this several times off the air, and Wendy is probably not the only one who's asked this question, so I figure I'm going to take this opportunity to put it to bed, even though it's not directly Pennsylvania related, but I am a Pennsylvania native, so there's a tenuous connection. First of all, as always, let me give some background. As I mentioned before, I was the Libertarian Party candidate for Pennsylvania governor three times now, 1998, 2002, and 2018. And no, I don't have any plans to run again anytime soon. Well, I was pretty wet behind the ears when it came to the 1998 race against Tom Ridge. I had only been a Toastmaster for 1 year at that time, so the whole campaign was pretty choppy at points. For example, the campaign started late, so I didn't have a network of volunteers in place. I didn't have any fundraising set up, no web presence, nothing. So it was a standing start. And despite that standing start, I did manage to set several records. And probably the most important one was that I became the first gubernatorial candidate in the Pennsylvania Libertarian Party to get more than 1% of the vote.
Wow.
Woo-hoo, this is in 98, and it's gotten better since then, too, but that was the first. And that's a good political result, but there was an even more important personal result. Specifically, Ed, I had a blast. It was just so much fun. In fact, it was so much fun, I said, I'm going to do this again.
Mm.
So in 99, I threw my hat in the ring for the 2002 gubernatorial nomination for the Pennsylvania Libertarian Party. I figured I had 3 years to get ready this time, and I ultimately broke even more records, including all of my own, which is always good, but that's another story.
We'll save that for
another day. Let's get back to Wendy. One of my political advisors back then had a novel suggestion. No, not writing a book, although one did suggest that. He said a way we can get around the shortcomings of the 98 race was to practice for the 2002 gubernatorial race by seeking the Libertarian Party's nomination for vice president in 2000. And for those of you who, like Wendy, are wondering how somebody could possibly run for vice president, you got to understand the mindset of your typical libertarian. We're not big on someone dictating what we should do, especially when it comes to choosing our candidates. So our party rules are starkly different from that of the two old parties. Rather than the presidential candidate unilaterally choosing a vice presidential running mate, the delegates at our national convention do the choosing instead. Very democratic.
Hmm.
That means that people can specifically aim to be vice president. So I did. We called the campaign the Blair House Project, Blair House being where the vice president lives. The idea was that if we could put together a national campaign, it should be a lot easier to put together a statewide one. In other words, 2000 would be a practice race for 2002. So the wife and I traveled all through the country for 6 months, visiting all the state libertarian parties, drumming up support from all the delegates. We did a cross-country whistle-stop tour via Amtrak. We camped out for weeks all across the West, in the Colorado Rockies, Death Valley, Giant Redwoods, all that stuff.
Hmm.
I'm telling you, if that 98 race was fun, the 2000 VP race was even more fun. And finally, after 6 months of stumping across the nation, there we were at the national convention. And when the first vote was taken for vice president, Steve Cubby and Art Olivier each received about 40% of the vote, and I got about 9%, and the rest went to various other people. Now, that's not too bad, considering I just started 6 months earlier, and I was an unknown person on the national scene. Well, after that first vice presidential ballot, it was obvious I was not going to win. Not that I wanted to, but that's another story. So I withdrew from the race. And when I withdrew, I endorsed Art Olivier, who then went on to win the party's nomination for vice president on the second ballot. You know what that means? I personally unilaterally chose the Libertarian Party's 2000 vice presidential candidate. So to answer Wendy's question, no, it wasn't the presidential candidate who did it. I did it. Only because of the way the delegates voted. Strange days indeed, as John Lennon would put it. And with that vote, my mission was accomplished. The 2000 practice race succeeded beyond my wildest dreams, and 2002 was destined to become my most successful campaign ever. Hmm. And if you're interested, there's a video of my address to the National Convention delegates out on YouTube. If you just Google YouTube, Krawchuk, Vice President, it's the first hit. So what about you, Ed? You want to run for president, vice president?
I have more interesting things up my sleeve. I'm actually running for coroner of Monroe County.
Oh, you're a killer.
not a killer. But
you're an accomplice? Yeah,
I am. I'm running for coroner.
A coroner.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you have the qualifications for a coroner?
Well, interestingly, in Pennsylvania, you don't have to be an MD to be coroner. In fact, most coroners are just by force of habit, funeral home owners.
Are you a funeral home?
I am not a funeral home owner.
You have a great funeral home voice.
Yes, thank you. But nope, not a funeral home owner, but I've been an EMT since 1977.
That'll do it.
Yeah, so I've seen a fair bit of stuff.
You've seen a lot of dead people.
Yeah.
Oh, man. There's stories and a half, too.
There's stories. It's all about the stories, yeah.
I know. I still keep wanting to get an EMT on here to talk about some of the blunt stuff. Didn't I ask you? And you said, well.
Happy to. Sometime, yeah, as long as we can keep, privacy and all that, sure.
Sure, all right, we'll bring you back as a guest, Ed.
There you go.
We'll do that.
All right.
Well, tell you what, on that morbid note, that's going to have to do it for the U portion of episode 103 of the Pennsylvania Project. We're going to pause for this information, and when we return, we'll be meeting with today's guest, Tim McMaster, the Libertarian candidate for State Senate in District 3048.
Did you hear the latest news? Almost two-thirds of all federal spending now goes to pay for the welfare state. More than $2.2 trillion, which just about equals federal income. Do you realize what that means? Virtually all tax revenue is now being consumed by the welfare state. But how do we rein in that runaway spending before it destroys America? The answer? The separation of society and state. That's the premise of the new novel, Atlas Snubbed, an unsanctioned parody sequel to Ayn Rand's Atlas Shrugged. Atlas Snubbed presents a workable alternative to the welfare state as we know it. Atlas Snubbed expertly extends Rand's epic story of a looter's world snubbed by the men of the mind, bringing to life a crumbling post-apocalyptic world where no one need ask who is John Galt, because now they know. Atlas Snubbed, available at all online bookstores or through atlassnubbed.com. Read it today before it's too late.
Here's an interesting question. What do you think of these three ideas? Number one, people have at all times an inalienable right to alter, reform, or abolish their government as they think proper. Number two, juries shall have the right to determine the law as well as the facts. Number three, the right of the citizens to bear arms in defense of themselves and the state shall not be questioned. Do those words sound like they're something taken from a Hollywood political thriller? They're not. They're all direct quotes from Article 1 of the Pennsylvania Constitution. Everyone's heard of the United States Constitution, but have you ever heard of the Pennsylvania Constitution? Have you ever read it? But most importantly, was it ever taught to you in school? If you're like virtually all Pennsylvanians, the answers are likely to be no, no, and no. Well, it's long past time we changed those answers to yes, yes, and yes. And you have a crucial part to play in making that come to pass. As you know, we here at the Pennsylvania Project are all about solutions. So we've authored a petition demanding that the Pennsylvania Constitution be taught to our children. If you believe it's important for our children to know how our state government works, head over to our website, pennsylvaniaproject.com, and add your name to the growing list of signers. And every time we accumulate another batch of signatures, we'll send a copy of the petition to the governor, the Pennsylvania Board of Education, and each and every one of the 500 school districts in Pennsylvania, asking them right now to start teaching our children the Pennsylvania Constitution. So please sign the petition at pennsylvaniaproject.com. The alternative is yet another generation that has never heard of, let alone read, the Pennsylvania Constitution. And people wonder why no one votes anymore.
Wonderful. Hey, Ken Krawchuk here, and welcome to the Them portion of episode 103 of the Pennsylvania Project, where we host a guest to help showcase the political, cultural, and or environmental issues facing Pennsylvania. Today's guest is decidedly political. He's Tim McMaster, Libertarian candidate for State Senate in District 48. He's a former professional wrestler and a former heavy metal drummer. He's currently living in York. He's a Mason, a foodie, and he runs a goat farm, of all things. He's been a Libertarian since he was a teenager, and he tells me he is not a Toastmaster, at least not yet. Welcome to the Pennsylvania Project, Tim.
Ken, it's great to be here, buddy. I am humbled to be in the presence of the man who single-handedly selected the 2000 Libertarian Party Vice President.
I feel humbled myself. You know, there's a lot of times where you can ask my wife, I just shake my head. I cannot believe some of the stuff that has gone down. Has that ever happened to you?
You know, I am in the same boat.
Yeah. I mean, here you are. You're running for Pennsylvania State Senate, and it's a special election. Does that mean you're special?
I think so. But my mom has been telling me that for 46 years now, that I'm special and also handsome.
Mothers are like that. You know, it's funny.
Yeah, this election, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, our middle daughter, she got a card for her birthday when she was, I guess, 4 or 5 and something like that. And it said, for a special girl on the front. And she's crying. And we're like, what's the matter? She goes, I'm not special. she's thinking of the special education children anyway.
Right.
Special election, maybe they're all...
Language.
I'm sorry?
Language matters.
Yeah. Yes.
Language matters sometimes, yeah.
It does. So anyway, there you are. How did you manage to... Well, first of all, what's a special election? What's special about it?
So this is an election to fill the vacant, or the seat rather, that's been vacated by Dave Arnold due to his tragic passing due to brain cancer in January. That was very, very sad. One door closes, another one opens, I guess. And we saw this. I was actually running for Board of Supervisors in my local township. So I had already had sort of a campaign structure in place, you know, myself, manager, treasurer, website, had all that in place, logos, the whole thing. And the York party approached me and said, hey, this seat is now open and you're doing a pretty good job running for the local office. Would you mind shifting and running for this state Senate seat? It's largely a red district, but we think that we've been making a lot of progress as libertarians in the 48th district, Lebanon especially. We helped establish their affiliate party just this year, so congratulations to them. You know, we're making really good progress here, so I think we have a legitimate shot to turn this seat gold.
Nice. Yeah, and I like that color too. You know, there's the red and the blue.
Well.
We libertarians are gold because we believe in a gold standard, and we are the gold standard. And I went out and I visited your website, tim2021.com. Very professional. Yeah. I used to run a website. I used to run a website business, so I have an eye for this kind of stuff. I like the way it's laid out.
I did the website myself, and I do not run a website business. I would say that it is the best looking website a goat farmer has ever designed.
Somebody's just trying to get your goat.
The competition is brutal in that area.
It really is.
It is.
I have really bucked the competition.
I love it.
See.
The greatest of all time. There he is.
Yeah, man. We'll just have to hoof it into something else, I guess. You know. Stuck on that one. Let's back up a little bit. Who's your opponent?
So right now there are three other persons running in this race. It's insurance businessman Chris Gephardt, who's running on the Republican ticket. Retired veterinarian Dr. Calvin Clements. I believe he goes by Doc. He is the Democrat. And former state rep from the 22nd district, I believe, Ed Krebs, who was a Republican, retired in 2002, was actually running an independent campaign. So there are four of us on this one. So
you're running...
I guess for my first big election, I guess go big or go home. So four is better than three, I guess.
Now, you're not on the... Oh, yeah, you are on the ballot for the primary election. So all the... So there are going to be two Republicans? Hang on.
No, Ed Krebs is running as an independent.
So one's a D, one's an R, one's an I, and you're the L.
Yeah.
What the L?
Mm-hmm.
And are you getting any kind of good press? Or is this your first radio appearance or been on TV?
We are. I've done a couple of podcasts already. Penn Live has reached out to us.
I love
to
Penn
do
Live.
An interview.
They're very good.
Yeah. As well as the Big Wilbur in Lebanon County, the AM big AM talker there, WLBR.
Uh-huh.
They reached out to us, and I did about a 10-minute spot with them earlier this week. So that was good. That went pretty well.
Uh-huh.
Unfortunately, because I live in York County, I didn't actually hear it, so I don't know how it went, but I know I thought it went well.
Uh-huh. Have you made it on WHP, the Harrisburg station?
Not yet. We're trying. My wonderful manager, who really, I can't say enough good things about Christine. She is the absolute best. She has been reaching out to all the major media in the area. We've openly challenged Mr. Gephardt, Dr. Clements, and Mr. Kreft to a public forum or debate, whichever you'd like to call it, because we think it's imperative that the voters hear the most opinions possible, that they hear the most voices.
Mm-hmm.
I apologize for my dog. He's an Australian cattle dog and very loud.
Doggone. Or not, as the case may be.
Got to get them out there working the goats.
Cattle dog at a goat farm. I know. It's all over the place here.
Now, do you think your opponents would be into coming on the air and doing a candidate forum?
You know, I certainly hope so. As I said, we've reached out a couple of times to Mr. Gephardt's campaign. They haven't gotten back to us yet.
Huh.
But they were just, they had just kind of got into it about 2 weeks ago. They're probably still trying to get their feet wet get everything rolling. So we're going to give them a little bit of time before we start needling them, I guess, a little bit, some good-natured ribbing.
Uh-huh. Because we've done a lot of candidate forums for the November election last year. I don't know. We must have done 7 or 8 of them. We had some of the statewide guys on, local people, because we are all about getting the word out here. The word where we can get the
right. Bill. I remember listening to a few of those. I thought they were really good.
Uh-huh.
I'm very, very interested in talking to these gentlemen and letting the people of the 48th District know where I stand on the cause of liberty.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think, honestly, if you're looking for a seasoned, polished politician, I'm not that guy. All I can be is honest and spread the message of liberty.
Well, I guess as a former heavy metal drummer, it's going to be a little difficult to come across as a straight-up politician. And I always tell people What? No, go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say, I've been told that I clean up rather nice.
Uh-huh.
You seem to. So I have a question. To get on the primary ballot, you had to get signatures. How many signatures did you end up getting?
Actually, that's a great story. Because of the hard work that Joe Solovsky, Dan Wassamer, and Jen Moore did in the general election last year, the Libertarian Party of TA achieved minor party status. So we actually did not need to collect signatures to get on this. All we needed to do was file the paperwork, which we did in early February, and we're on the ballot as a minor party. That was so all the hard work that others have done is really starting to pay off.
That's
really
terrific. Yeah.
Party in Pennsylvania.
And Tim, not meaning to contradict you on the air, but I'm going to contradict you on the air. You did need one signature.
Yeah.
The state party secretary had to sign the paperwork.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I needed one.
I was referring to petition of the signature.
That's one nice thing about being
three.
Being a recognized party in Pennsylvania is that special elections, you just waltz right in.
Wow.
And I would be surprised if you don't hear from... Oh, go ahead.
I can't say enough about the great things that the previous candidates for last year's general did.
Mm-hmm.
Because without them, we'd probably still be out trying to get signatures.
Yep.
And in these COVID times, that is not easy to do. Because I remember we did it for the Jorgensen campaign last year, and it was... let's just say the duopoly made it exceedingly difficult for us.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You know, when we had all three of those people on the Pennsylvania Project as part of our candidate forum series. But, you know, I started to say before, I'm not surprised that you haven't heard yet from your opponents when you're asking them to face the issues, show them up for the citizens and everything. Because when I ran for governor in 2018, I sent a personal letter to Tom Wolf and what was the Republican guy's name? Wagner. Yeah. Mr. Wagner.
Good luck with that.
I know. Neither one had the courtesy of saying, Ken, we don't want to do it. I mean, it's just sad when they don't even have basic societal decency.
Politeness,
just to say, no, we're not going to do it. So.
And I could understand if we weren't on the ballot, but as a party, we are on the ballot. We are a legitimate party. We have every bit the same opportunity to win every election that we're in.
Yep, and we are the third largest party.
To disrespect us that way is hurtful.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm your caster, Ken Krawchuk, and you're listening to episode 103 of the Pennsylvania Project. We'll be right back after this information with more from our guest, Tim McMaster, Libertarian candidate for State Senate in District 48.
Are you a small business owner always looking for referrals? Do you have a streamlined approach to generating new referrals? Contact Stephen Worley to learn the fast, easy way to generate new referrals. Stephen has an all-inclusive system that will help you generate an extra 5 to 10 customers per week without spending a single dollar on ads. You won't have to create a website, have pictures taken, or write a single ad. Stephen will take the headache out of the process. Contact him at stephenwerley.com. That's Stephen with a V, W-E-R-L-E-Y.com.
Hey, Ken Krawchuk here, caster of the Pennsylvania Project. You know, it's easy to find a high-paying job. At least for some people it is. Employers are begging for competent leaders who know how to communicate effectively. But do those words describe you? Competent leader? Communicates effectively? If not, or even if they do, you may want to consider joining Toastmasters. The mission of Toastmasters is to provide a supportive experience for learning communication and leadership skills. But does it really work? Hey, look at me. I joined Toastmasters, and now I have my own radio show. It doesn't get any better than this. So turn your life around like I have. Visit Toastmasters.org and contact a club near you. Visitors are always welcome, and be sure to mention you heard it on the Pennsylvania Project radio show. The future is anxiously awaiting competent leaders who know how to communicate effectively. You can be that leader. It all starts at Toastmasters.org. Hey, Ken Krawchuk here again. Welcome to and we are back with episode 103 of the Pennsylvania Project, and our guest, Tim McMaster, Libertarian candidate for State Senate in District 48. So, Tim, we were talking beforehand about how we're getting dissed by the two old parties. I don't understand why.
It's unfortunate, but as a wise man once said, you take the most flack when you're over the target. So I'm actually looking forward to the challenge.
Mm-hmm. That's a good way of putting it. I want to talk about some of the other stuff. I want to talk about your goat farm, if you don't mind.
Oh, boy.
How much time do you have? Hey, I'll go back to my first love. Red computer cards. You would slide a computer card through it, and the brushes would go through the holes, and the lights would light up saying what the card said. Isn't that cool?
Hmm.
Do your goats, can you talk to your goats?
Are they meat or milk or both?
Both. We have two separate herds. We have a meat herd. We have a dairy herd.
I would not have even thought to ask that question. I'm a city boy. I was raised in North Philadelphia. We had alleys and driveways.
The difference is largely in how their body processes protein and carbohydrates and meat to bone ratio. I could bore you with the science of it, but I won't.
Uh-huh. Well, we're trying to keep this all political. So what about the politics of it? I guess you're regulated somehow?
We are. We get away. I don't want to say get away, but that's illegal here. But we sort of fall under what's called the small farm exemption.
Uh-huh.
So as long as we're under a certain number of head per year process, we can sell pretty much up to and including that number. When we sell on farm, I generally sell whole and half carcasses. So somebody will buy the goat, we'll take it to our processor. They've already purchased the goat. It's kind of like a lot of folks do with beef cattle. So we do the same thing. So I know the whole goat is going to one family. So that gets around any of the regulations for USDA and PA Department of Ag. Unfortunately, some of the retail places that we sell, we have to use a USDA butcher. It has to have the stamp, and everything has to be to meet approval, and that increases my cost probably 30% to 45% per pound.
Wow.
So we don't do a whole lot of that. It's actually a better market for us if we market directly to people, and because the farming that we do is what we like to call integrity farming. We don't use any pesticides, chemicals, herbicides, Wow. None of that on the form.
Like super organic.
Wow.
Well, I can't use that word because the government owns that term.
Okay.
Yeah. People ask us all the time if we're organic, and I said, nope, I didn't write a check to the government.
Good for you. You know, I used to
We reuse all of we compost all of our manure, put it back on the fields, and we make hay off of that we feed back to the goats. So it's a nice closed cycle. We're actually building the soil on our farm as opposed to degrading it. So wow. I'm very proud of that, and we worked very hard on that. So
I'm impressed.
Excellent.
And you're an IT guy, too.
Yeah, probably the most un-IT guy in IT ever.
Uh-huh. Farmer IT.
Yeah, I've been doing it 20 years, and honestly, I would be perfectly content to go back to flip phones, carrier pigeons, and smoke signals.
I guess. I want to get back to, I just had to ask you about the goat thing. I never met a goat farmer. The only time I had goat is when I go down to Taj Mahal Indian Restaurant in Lancaster.
Go for Indian. I was asking, who are your biggest customers? It sounds like you do a lot of person-to-person sales.
We do a lot of person-to-person sales. We do have a couple of retail customers, and I'm not 100% certain of their politics. So rather than cause any kind of conflict of interest, I'd rather not say.
It's the same thing with my clients. I've been a consultant now since the 80s, running my own business. And whenever anybody asks me about political stuff, I talk about being on the campaign trail. Oh, yeah, my wife and I, we camp all over the place, giant redwoods, all that kind of stuff. But I don't say, oh, yeah, I believe in the right to keep and bear arms, and I believe in the right to keep and bear cannabis plants and all these other things. So speaking of cannabis.
Go
ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, in that regard, politics and religion is generally not things that I mix with business.
Uh-huh. Yep. Swear to God, right? No, I'm kidding. But speaking of cannabis, I was going to say, what are the issues in your race? Well, let's get away from the goats here for a bit.
So in my race, what we're focusing on here is that we want to fully reopen Pennsylvania with zero government restrictions.
Amen.
We think that the people are smart enough and educated enough. I mean, it's been a year now that they can take care or they can take the right precautions that they feel are best for their family, for their friends, for their business, for their customers, for their staff. And government quite simply doesn't need to be involved in this. And
yep.
Governor Wolf and his draconian mandates are just, it needs to end. And that's one thing where I am kind of in alignment with Republicans, because I see a lot of Republicans that are supporting that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that we're big on is we want to start lowering the state income tax.
Hallelujah. Sign me up.
Yeah. Because I have friends and family that live in Florida with zero personal income tax, and they love it. They're like, you wouldn't believe, like, we donated to this charity and that charity because we're not paying income tax.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's fantastic.
Well, you know, if you're going to lower taxes, that's going to lower the revenue to the state. And the only way you can lower revenue to the state, because we can't borrow our budgets have to be balanced. Tim, what are you going
to
cut?
Oh, we have to decrease spending.
What are you going to cut? Do you have anything?
Well, one of the first things I would try to do is get our legislature to be a part-time legislature with a 50% pay cut.
They're already part-time. They meet 17 weeks out of the year.
Right, but they need to be legitimately part-time. Like, you come in, like, maybe on Fridays every other week, get done what needs done, and get out of there. Uh-huh. There's no reason that this should be the highest paid legislature in the 50 states.
Yeah, it's the highest
paid. There's no reason for it.
Isn't it also, like, the biggest or one of the biggest? Like,
it is.
As big as California or bigger? Yeah.
Well, I got no problem with being big, because that way each person represents fewer people.
Big is okay, but expensive is the killer.
Big is okay, but when they're getting paid that much money and things are as gridlocked as they are. Now, mm-hmm. normally I am a fan of government gridlock, because when it's gridlocked,
me too.
Yeah.
But in this case, like, there's some legitimate things that they could be addressing, like reopening Pennsylvania, property tax relief.
Yep.
I am a huge supporter of constitutional carry.
Yep.
And I know that one Republican, Rush, out of the 25th district, he's supporting that. So I would be more than happy to co-sponsor and sign on to that with him.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my kind of olive branch to the Republican Party. Is like, hey, if it's good legislation, I'm right there with you.
Yep. And that's one of the nice things about being a libertarian, because Republicans agree with us on economic issues and Democrats agree with us on personal issues. And of course, we believe in personal and economic freedom. So once you get in the state house there, you could be the deciding vote, which is going to tip things one way for one group or the other way for the other group.
You know, that's the hope. But at the end of the day, like, my only real goal in here is to help the people of the 48th district, is to free them up to be their best. Mm-hmm. So on all my Facebook pages and all my other stuff, we've been trying to get the hashtag Make Pennsylvania Free Again trend.
Nice.
Because that is legitimately what the goal is here, is to just say, like, listen, I'm here to represent you. I am a public servant. What can I do to make your life better, to free you up, to follow your dreams, to build your business, to take care of your family?
Mm-hmm. Pretty radical.
The answer to that is if the answer to that is get the government the hell out of the way, then I'm going to be pushing guys out the way to make way for Pennsylvania.
Wow.
Tim, you sound like a libertarian.
You say pretty radical concepts there, Tim.
I know. It's odd, isn't it?
I love it, man. You know, when we were talking before the show, you mentioned that you ran into Tom Wolf and the Giant. And I said, don't tell me the story.
I do have a great Tom Wolf story, yeah. So it's either the day before Christmas Eve or 2 days before Christmas Eve. And it kind of late in the evening, and the grocery store is closing soon, or they're getting ready to shift into, like, their night shift and have their stockers stocking shelves or whatever. And I'm there with my wife because we like to shop later. Like that, they put fresher stuff out. There's not as many people. We get silly when we're out shopping together, my wife and I, because she's my best friend. So we're always goofing around and joking, and a lot of people can't really handle that. And I notice out of the corner of my eye that Governor Tom Wolf is about 2 miles over from us. Now, of course, me being me, my wife is grabbing me, and she's like, don't say anything, don't say anything, don't say anything.
And I'm like, that sounds like my wife.
You know what? It's fine. I won't say anything.
Uh-huh.
And we continue shopping until we get to the checkout line. And right behind me, wouldn't you know it, wouldn't you know who won the pony?
Oh, no.
It was Governor Tom Wolf.
Oh, no. So.
And I look at my wife, and I'm just shaking my head, and I'm like, this has to happen.
It was fate
meant to be, right?
Before I give her a chance to, like, throw me in a headlock and throw me on the, you know, into a cart, I turn around and, as absolutely polite as I could, stick my hand out and I said, Governor Wolf, I just wanted to let you know that I didn't support you and I would do everything in my power to make sure you're not reelected.
Oh.
Have a Merry Christmas.
Ouch. Oh, man. Isn't there a Dan Fogelberg song about that? Met my governor in the grocery store. Snow was falling Christmas Eve.
Unfortunately, because I wasn't planning on meeting any state executives. I did not have one of my... and the Fed taxation is theft shirts on, or I would have said, hey, can I take a picture with you? And then
oh,
got a meme.
Man. And you could always dress him up.
That's
afterwards.
My Governor Wolf story.
How did he react? What did he do or say, or did he just slink away?
He just sort of stood there like, I can't believe that this guy just said these things.
Facing Governor, you're not any favorite.
Yeah, and I was fully expecting, like, some kind of, like, Pennsylvania Secret Service to come in and, like, take me down, but no. So to his credit, I mean, he's out shopping among us peasants.
They're probably around.
Good for him.
State police who guard the governor. I don't know.
Is that who it is? PSP? I honestly wasn't sure.
Yep. No, I don't think he has Secret Service.
No.
Anyway, you know, Tim, the time goes by really, 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 really fast. And I learned a few things about goats and the difference between a milk goat and a meat goat, unless there's a third kind of goat that I could get. I don't know. But what I always...
There's lots of other kinds of goats. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Show goats.
Yeah. Just goats to show.
That's right.
Oh, never mind.
Hair goats, painting goats.
Anyway, one thing I always do for our guests is I like to open up the microphone and let them talk about anything they want. 30 seconds, a minute, whatever it is. And I already said your website, tim2021.com. But is there something that the 2-3 million listeners here in the Pennsylvania area need to know? What's on your mind?
Well, one thing that you need to know about me is that at the end of the day, I'm a small farmer. So the things that are really that I'm really passionate about is ways that we can open up the state and the state's economy to the small farmer, to the small business, to the mom and pop that maybe have a great idea. Maybe mom makes great pickles. and Dad does great woodworking, and they try to start a business in their garage, in their basement, but there's so many government regulations and restrictions that it raises the barrier to entry to a point where these businesses never get off the ground. And if these impediments existed in the 70s, we might not have Microsoft Windows.
Mm-hmm.
As we know, that was started in Bill Gates' garage.
Yep.
So one thing that people need to know is that I will always fight for the small businessman, for the small farmer, for the mom and pop shop that's just trying to get by, trying to find their passion, something that moves them. With me, it's goats.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for another person, you know, maybe, like I said, they make great jelly. They make great jams. I know the Libertarian, one of the candidates for Lieutenant Governor, Nicole Schultz, she makes fantastic jellies and jams. I highly recommend. That's what
that's
I want
right.
people. Yeah, I know.
That's all right. No,
sorry,
that's why
I dropped
we're here.
That name. Let me pick that up. So that's the big thing. That's what I, you know, you asked me to come up with something to rant on for a few seconds, and that is that I want the small farmers in Pennsylvania to know that they have an ally.
Excellent.
They're going to have somebody that is going to fight tooth and nail for them, because I am one of them.
And, you know, I did a rant about that just recently, episode 99. The last 15 minutes, I ranted about how difficult it is to start a business here in Pennsylvania, all from my own personal experience. Episode 99.
Yeah, it absolutely is.
And that
needs to change.
Yep, agreed.
Because the small business is the engine that spins our economy, and we have been stifling it in this state and this nation for far too long.
Oh, man. You got my vote. I'm going to have to change my registration to get out there real quick. Well, that's going to have
to... Well, I think the last day to register is May 1st.
Yeah,
so
I still got time. Okay. Well, thanks for coming on the show. That's going to have to wrap
it
up.
Thank you very much for having me, gentlemen.
Oh, man. Thank you. And that's going to have to wrap it up for the then portion of episode 103 of the Pennsylvania Project. My thanks again to our guest, Tim McMaster, the Libertarian candidate for State Senate in District 48. You'll be able to vote for him in the primary coming up on May... I should know that. 19th.
18th.
18th. 18th.
May 18th.
All right. We're going to pause for this information, and when we return, I'm going to be ranting about the right to work laws.
The following is a commercial announcement.
Hey, Ed, how's it going?
Bad, Ken. Really bad.
Why? What's the matter?
Our friends at the Infernal Revenue Service paid me a personal visit the other day.
Infernal Revenue Service?
Yep. Call them for what they are. They sent these two big brutes to the house, scared us all half to death.
I bet. What did they want?
Well, money, lots of it. Remember that part-time gig I took on last summer?
Oh, yeah. You were raking in some big bucks.
Yeah, and all those big bucks went straight into my personal bank account. It turns out the IRS doesn't like that, and I didn't file any of the right forms or pay nearly enough in taxes. So they want it all now, right now, plus penalties and interest.
Ouch. Sounds like you should have called Amendment 16.
Hey, it's the damn 16th Amendment that got me into this predicament in the first place.
No. Amendment 16, the invoicing service. They'll invoice your client for the hours and expenses you report to them. And when your client pays them, they pay you, minus all required state and federal taxes. It's that easy. One call does it all. And they'll even have an accountant do your personal taxes for you come April Fool's Day. Come April 15th.
Well, and they take care of all the taxes, all the forms?
Yep. And they could pass along certain tax breaks, too.
Man, I wish I knew about Amendment 16 sooner. Where can I find them?
On the web, of course, at amendment16.com, with 16 spelled out. That's amendment, SIXTEEN.com. One call does it all.
Have you heard the big news? The Pennsylvania Project is expanding dramatically. Each episode is now being broadcast multiple times a week on WWDB Talk Radio in Philadelphia. And the show has recently gone into syndication across Pennsylvania. Our success can be your success as well. A limited number of opportunities have recently come available where you can advertise affordably on the Pennsylvania Project. Not only will your message be heard throughout Pennsylvania's largest media market by far, all past episodes are always available for downloading at PennsylvaniaProject.com, at WWDB's website, on iTunes, and from many other popular podcast providers. So here's your chance to become a permanent part of the first liberty-oriented talk show on WWDB since the legendary Irv Homer hung up his headphones. Interested? Drop us a line at PennsylvaniaProject.com today.
Hey, Ken Krawchuk here, and welcome to the me portion of episode 103 of the Pennsylvania Project, where I get to rant a bit about something that really sticks in my craw. Today, I'm going to be ranting about the right-to-work laws. The rant was inspired by a short note from someone who typically sends in nothing but short notes about one policy item for another. He's one of our irregular questioners, Stan from Lycoming, Pennsylvania. He asked if I had seen the right-to-work bill that Pennsylvania's Young Americans for Liberty is pushing. Well, I hadn't seen it, nor have I ever talked about one on the show, but I did look into it, and you know, suddenly it's time to rant, because there's something very rant-worthy about those sorts of laws that no one is talking about. You'll see what I mean. So let's start at the top. What is a right-to-work law? Being very brief, a right-to-work law guarantees that no one can be forced to join a union or not to join the union as a condition of employment, or be forced to pay or not pay union dues. That's it. Pretty straightforward. 27 states currently have right-to-work laws on their books, plus there's a federal right-to-work law for federal employees, but Pennsylvania, we have no such law. Well, the obvious question to ask is a right-to-work law any good? Well, it depends on who you ask. The proponents point out the moral argument of freedom of association. They argue it should be up to the individual to decide whether or not to join a union. They also point to certain union activities that individuals might object to, such as supporting certain political candidates or championing certain political views. Why should an individual be forced to contribute to a political cause that they find distasteful? Well, the proponents of the right-to-work laws just say they shouldn't. Then on the other hand, you've got the opponents of the right-to-work laws, and they have their own litany of horrors. They have clear statistics showing how right-to-work laws result in lower wages, in more dangerous workplaces, and fewer insured workers. They make the point that don't we want safer, higher-paid, insured workers? Well, these opponents of the right-to-work laws, they say we do. So which is it? Are right-to-work laws good or bad? It sounds like there's arguments on both sides. Well, let's start at the top again. To repeat a time-worn phrase, we are all about solutions here at the Pennsylvania Project. So what's the solution here? To repeat another one of our time-honored phrases, I won't say time-worn, more important than solving the problem correctly is to solve the correct problem. So what problem are we solving here? Well, to repeat yet another well-worn phrase, we libertarians believe that you have the right to live your life your way without interference, provided only that you respect the rights and property of others. So, on the face of it, because you have the right to live your life your own way, it should be up to you whether or not you want to join a union, rather than being forced to join. Seems like an open and shut case to me. Of course it's up to you whether you should join. But wait a minute. What about looking at it from another viewpoint? What about the viewpoint of the business owner? Suppose you open up a business, you got your own company there, and you want to run your business a certain way. Your right to live your life your way includes the right to run your business your way, provided, of course, that you respect the rights and property of others. So if I want to run my business to employ only union workers, isn't that my right? This sounds like another open and shut case to me. Of course it's up to the business owner, just like it's up to the worker. But which is it? Which one has the right to live their life their own way? The individual worker or the individual business owner? Or neither? Me, I say it's both. Yes, because there is a third player in this scene. It's not the individual. It's not the business owner. Yep, it's the government. They're the people who pass laws. But do we want them to pass a right-to-work law? Remember that when you ask for a law to be passed, you're demanding that people must act in a certain way. And if they don't, you are going to send men with guns to force them to act in that certain way. And if the person still refuses, the men with guns will either kidnap them and put them in a cage for years or just shoot them outright. That's what a law is. That's what you get when you're asking for a law. It's your life the government's way, or else it's life in a cage, if there is any life at all after they get done with you. Now, in some cases, having a mandatory law can be good. For example, if somebody's out there robbing people, I think that you want the men with guns to kidnap them and put them in a cage and maybe just shoot them outright. But in other cases, having a law can be bad, such as sending men with guns to kidnap you and stop you from giving legal advice, or stop you from smoking cannabis, or keeping your restaurant from opening during a pandemic, or for performing any other sort of peaceful activity that respects the rights and property of others. So looking at it in that context, are right-to-work laws good or bad? Now, let me rephrase the question. If I decide I want to run a union-only business, do you want the government to send the men with guns to kidnap me and put me in a cage for years, or just shoot me outright? I would guess you don't. Unless, of course, you are some sort of union militant who wants to use the power of government to increase the size of your membership, increase the flow of money into your coffers, and increase your power over government itself? Well, I'm no union militant. I'm a libertarian. And as a libertarian, I'm in favor of the individual choosing their own professional destiny. As a libertarian, I'm in favor of business owners choosing their own professional destiny. And as a libertarian, I stand firmly against sending men with guns to stop peaceful people from performing peaceful activities so long as they respect the rights and property of others. So you can count me as being against these so-called right-to-work laws. Let's keep the government out of private affairs. It's either that, or they are going to send in the clowns. On that righteous note, that's going to have to wrap it up for episode 103 of the Pennsylvania Project. What do you think about right-to-work laws, or our candidate for state senate, Tim McMaster, or libertarian delegates choosing their own vice presidential candidate, or anything somewhat Pennsylvania-related? If you have something to say, we would love to hear from you. You can contact us at PennsylvaniaProject.com right after you sign our education petition, that is. And you can hear us there, too, as well as on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and a plethora of other popular podcast providers.
Plethora.
Alliterative. Today's episode is courtesy of Amendment 16 Limited and produced live at the studios of WWDB Radio, broadcasting in Philadelphia at 860 on the AM dial every Monday at 3 p.m., among other times. Each episode is also released as a podcast every Monday at 5 p.m. at PennsylvaniaProject.com. Our webmaster is Stephen Worley. Featured Toastmaster narrator is Missing in Action. Featured Toastmaster cohort and narrator is Ed Metz. Official bartender, Brooke Smith. Keyboard wizard, Joe the Pag. Radio producer, Brett Kronberger. Executive producer, Mark Bazzacco. And me, your caster, Ken Krawchuk. Thanks for joining us. And remember, more important than solving a workplace problem correctly is to solve the correct tyrannical problem.